Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It's 7:05 on February the 23rd, 2011, if somebody lost this year someplace. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we are on KCNR1460.com. We're streaming on that, and you can chat with us at the same time. And we've already got people on here. I see Indie Guy and Jimmy, and they're just on. They're starting to wake up this morning and come aboard. We're going to have a interesting show, as we always have an interesting show, but we're going to have a local business here, Carpet One, but then we're going to have Kent Dagg's going to be here, and Kent's always good for some stirring the pot issues. So also, he speaks his mind. He believes in that coming on and having nobody filtering what is said, and he uses that in his regards to some of the other news media assets in the town. So when you come in, when he comes in, we'll talk about what's going on in the town, construction, what he thinks, permits, Oasis, Stillwater, all that stuff. He heads up, of course, the Builders Exchange. I'm joined today by Bad Bob.
Yes, and I'm reminded of that Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. And if these times are not interesting, I don't know what they are.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to be talking about Wisconsin, Idaho, Iowa, Ohio, talking about Chicago. We're going to be talking about right here in Reading. We're going to be talking about things that have impacted here in Reading, judges' rulings, all these things. But we're all going to be getting into this. But let's talk about the first part here. And this is it was on this day, February 23rd. Well, wait a minute. What am I doing here? Linda is on assignment. She's not here. Don't ask me. I won't tell. We're in the don't ask, don't tell portion of Free Fire Radio. But it is an assignment. And she is listening. So I've really got to be careful here on these things. Anyway, okay. So I'm going to do her part. Those were the days that you look back what happened on this day in history. It was February 23rd. And after 4 days of bitter battle had taken its toll, the 28th Regiment of the 5th Marine Division of the U.S. Marine Corps, their task had been to neutralize the defenses and scale the heavily fortified Mount Suribachi. The volcanic peak at the southern tip of the Japanese island of Iwo Jima was one of the first objectives of the Marines' invasion. It was on this day, February 23rd, 1945, that that Marine platoon reached the top of Mount Suribachi and raised the flag. Probably one of the most famous photographs in history of Marines raising the American flag. That inspired the Marine Corps Memorial, the Iwo Jima statue, which now stands near Arlington National Cemetery, the largest cast bronze statue in the world. And you know something, six young men that raised that flag, three didn't see, two were killed on the island, one was killed later. I think the last member of that group that raised the flag of that platoon died just a couple years ago. Anyway, it was on this day in 1945. And we're going to take a break. We'll be listening to this. We'll talk to you on our way back. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, it is 7:13 in the morning, and Bad Bob, it's 34 degrees out there.
That's right, Carl. And we are still looking for snow, possibly around 500 feet north and west. Reading could definitely get anywhere from 3 to 6 inches. This cold winter storm will be kicking in late tonight and could continue through Friday morning. Right now, as you said, 34 degrees downtown under clear skies. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Anselmo Vineyards, just a short drive out of Shingletown. They've got music Friday. I think we're going to be up there. Yeah, we are going to be up there. And then, of course, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. Is the Rat Pack is back at the Civic Center. Show's going to start at 5 p.m. You can get tickets at a reduced rate if you call the convention center. You can't do it online, but if you call the convention center and you say, I'd like to get the tickets and on the spot with Linda Bott, and they will give you a reduced price and go on down there and just have a great time with us. They're selling a lot of tickets. Linda is going to have the opportunity to open for this Rat Pack. Ones that are the touring company of the show, and it's it sounds like all the reviews have been just outstanding. A lot of people going to it, so join us there on Sunday. Okay, let's start with Libya. Remember, what did I say yesterday? Were you all listening when I said go out and fill your tank up with gas today? Well, it's happening. Prices are going up literally daily as they fight more in Libya, and it's getting worse. Italy has now said 1,000 have been killed in the Libya revolutionary attempt. You know, you've got Gaddafi calling for his supporters to push him off the streets, which is begins shooting. However, some of the air force has not supported that. Some of the army units are disbanding, but it looks like he still controls Tripoli and several other areas. The big thing, though, is that the eastern region, where much of Libya's oil is located, was no longer under Gaddafi's control. And if that's the case, that million barrels of oil he produces is going to be hit. People are already speculating. And the other thing, too, is it's oil that they produce. Where is it going to go? Is it going to come here? Is it going to go to the west? Reports are it could be going to China. China, our friend. Anyway. So you've got unrest in Libya, Egypt. The cabinet's having all types of problems. Bahrain is releasing some of the protesters. The protests have died down. Saudi Arabia is backing, of course, Bahrain and some of the other countries. Gaddafi's not very well liked, but still, he is a form of stability in that region. So you've got protests everywhere. And the people are able to, they're not being killed in a wholesale fashion. They're not being said that they're going to be, they should be arrested and then killed as they are in Iran, another area where there wants to be freedom. And China is looking at this. China is already putting forces out, is already telling people that this is not a good idea to do, that they cannot meet, they cannot do these. Because whether you, people don't seem to understand it's that China is not our friend, and China is a communist totalitarian state. I actually knew somebody that went there, took the tour of the cities, didn't get off, I'm sure, the main road to see where people were starving to death and having no individual freedom, saying, oh, well, they're a lot like us. I mean, they believe in capitalism. I cannot believe a person of his, what I thought was experience and wisdom, would actually say that. It's wrong. It's not. They're a totalitarian society. If they make money, it's for the state. There may be some millionaires out there, but don't kid yourself for a minute that you get off the beaten path there, that people aren't starving to death. And the fact is that they own so many of our dollars that they could come over and start buying things. Like you said, what happens if they come in and want to buy the convention center? At which point do we say no? All right, the Rahm Emanuel is now king of Chicago. That's right, former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel was elected king of Chicago on Tuesday, and he'll take over as the head of the nation's third largest city in May after the retirement of Richard M. Daley. And Emanuel thanked the city for his humbling victory. But it's good being king, You know, he received 55% of the vote, comfortably over the majority he needed. But, it's going to be good to be king in Chicago, because you can do so many things if you just want to. You can control elections. You can put people into office. You can do all those things. And then, then the White House, of course, will even love you more, since you now control the state of Illinois.
That's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way. Jay, you're on line one here in KCNR 1460. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. I'm just watching, kind of going across the earth here. I'm working my way across to the Wisconsin. Wisconsin, you know what they call Democrats that go across the line so they don't have to participate in government for the job they're paid to do?
What?
Flea baggers. Yeah, they're flea baggers because they're staying in cheap hotels. But it may be that, since the government, since the taxpayers are probably paying for this, then maybe they're staying in really nice hotels. I mean, this whole thing is ridiculous. Oh, let's run away. I'm sure the situation will be better when we get back. Yeah, I tell you what. You know, cowards. You know what? The people voted in the governor and that assembly and that Senate. They voted them in to make changes. So now they're making changes, and oh, my God. What a surprise. We want the health care, we want the unions, the public unions, the people that work for the people, to pay part of their retirement and part of their health care. Oh, my God. So, yeah, what you got, Jay?
There's a number of Chinese pilots who learn to fly here in town, and I drive them fairly frequently. And I got to tell you, it's just kind of fun for me just to bring up the subject of politics just to see how scared they get. These guys do not come from a free society. They get nervous at the mere talk of politics, even if it involves politics from another country.
Yeah, I imagine that, because they can never tell who's listening and who, somebody will report back, send them a little email back to whoever's in charge back there.
But you can tell what, I basically just do it for fun, but you can kind of tell what kind of culture people come from by how scared they get by somebody just saying something. And it is, I was just commenting on the whole China thing. You moved on to Wisconsin, and my comment was still back in China.
Yeah, but some of those comments, Jay, like, hey, you want to meet somebody that wears leather? That could be kind of scary.
That right there
is a little scary to me, so.
Yeah, scary to children over here, but yeah.
That's right.
Have a great day, guys.
Okay.
Don't ever change, Jay.
All right, hey, there's our yellow taxi, man. You know what? Yellow taxi does things for you that, come out and give you a jump for your car. I won't charge you a whole bunch. Okay, let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, I'm working my way across. We're going to hit Wisconsin a little bit. We're going to work our way right to here in California, because we got a lot of things going right here in California and right here in the city of Redding. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning, 7:24 in the morning. February the 23rd, I'm here. Linda's on assignment. 37 degrees out there, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. That's right, Lumberjacks. 501 East Cypress, breakfast specials. I talk about breakfast specials now, and we speak in the next hour of their lunches and their dinners and everything, but they have just great breakfast at Lumberjacks. Copious amounts of food, fixed very well, and they've got specials Monday through Friday that are just great. $3.99 for ham and eggs. Can't touch that anywhere else. And $5.99 for New York steak and eggs. Find a cheaper one than that in town. That serves quality food with great service. We go there, and the people there are just exceptionally nice. Okay, let's keep moving. A gent in Phoenix convicted of second-degree murder in the killing of his daughter in an honor killing. They found this Iraqi immigrant guilty of second-degree murder for running down his daughter because she became too westernized. 12 years in prison. She's 20. She's dead. She was too westernized. Remember that racial profiling case we had right here in California?
Mm-hmm.
That they claimed that that those guys, those nasty drug enforcement guys, were pulling people over they were using racially profiling to do it. That they, you know, these two guys they arrested that had 86,000 pounds of meth in their car or something like that, that they were pulled. Oh, they didn't have that or something else, but it was something like that. The ruling, Judge England said that the defendants weren't able to provide enough evidence to convince him that the drug agents on the North State California multi-jurisdictional methamphetamine enforcement team, with just a name like that, it's pretty heavy, were pulling over drivers because of the race. This is the second time cases like this have been dismissed, and Sheriff Posenko is quite happy about that because, as he says, hey, look, these guys are doing their job correctly. They're pulling people over for reasons, and that, you know, for real reasons, not something that was as stupid as racial profiling. They're trained not to do that. That, as Sheriff Posenko said, that the drug agents were operating within the law as they addressed crime and drug issues. All right. Another big thing in the paper is the fact that a judge ruled for Sierra Pacific. Can you believe this? A judge ruling that we can actually cut lumber. And ruling frees up 19 tracks for logging. And it's a judge's rule on the side of the Sierra Pacific Industries in a lawsuit that effectively tied up 19 timber tracks. The reasons they said is because, well, you haven't done enough environmental study to make sure it didn't hurt global warming. Well, the judge said, well, they keep planting the trees here. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it was another one of those, you know, pesky lawsuits to keep people from using their own land and logging their own land effectively and, you know, wisely. And it's their land. You know, so, you know, enough of this stuff. Now Sierra Pacific can go back and use that land. They can log it. They can replant it. And, you know, end of story.
I had occasion to interview one of the founders of Greenpeace, who has since become an advocate of sustainable logging. He says, you know, it's absolute scientific fact that seedlings growing will suck up far more carbon than mature trees. And as long as it's done in a rational manner, I mean, you don't moonscape the place, but you do a sustainable logging, you are sucking up carbon like a sponge.
Yeah.
That's simple science.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. Now, the other story I'm going to talk about, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, I don't have enough time to really get into it, is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the House, has cut their funds dramatically. Well, saying that, well, wait a minute, you know, why are we underwriting funding for this public broadcasting? When, you know, indeed, it's a political thing. It's a political thing because they believe that, in many cases, the public broadcasting system leans to the left.
Just a little.
Well, you know, and in many cases, they're probably correct. However, comma, there's many, many other shows on PBS that are really good. So we don't have enough time to get into it, but we're going to get into it later today because here there's can be some severe impacts. But on the other hand, I don't believe that the Senate's going to go along with this, and I don't think Obama would go along with it as, you know, tearing all the money out from it because it effectively, my friends, could shut down public broadcasting in many parts of the country, but not in the parts that you would think that would really impact on. It's Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. When we come back, Chuck Sullivan will be here. Carpet One, we're going to be talking about local businesses here and how to make a business work in this time of the economy. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today. It's 7:34 in the morning. It's 37 degrees. And it's the 23rd of February. In case you didn't hear the first part, this is the day they raised a flag on Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima and that battle there after four horrendous days of combat. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. And, you know, we're talking about veterans right then, and Joe and Shelley support the veteran community. They support them in so many different ways, and the Missing America Project, the Patriot Guard Riders, American Legion, they've always got a home down there. They can always, they meet there, they discuss the issues, they get going before they do the support out at Igo in the cemetery. They have the finest walk-in humidor there at Tobacco and Brew. And great people there to talk to and work with. Espresso Joe's, it's 37 degrees. Go down and get your coffee. Get that cup of coffee down there. they'll fix it the way you want it. It's in a great price too. It's not, you know, it's not foo-foo coffee. It's, but they'll make foo-foo coffee. Bob likes it that way, right, Bad Bob?
Oh no, I take it barefoot.
Oh no, that's, you know, let's not even go there. All right, okay. You know, we have our, you know, local businesses on, and today is Chuck Sullivan from Carpet One, and you, and you work with Carpet One.
Yes,
is that
I
correct?
Did. Yes, I did.
And we got to know Chuck because they came in here and he just did a bang up job installing the carpet we have here in our new studio.
Appreciate it.
Well, no, we appreciate it. We appreciate the fact, you know, especially when we had left, I'd say, you know, arguably 2 tons of stuff in the middle of the room, and you went in there and you looked at it, and the guy that works with you looked at it, and you looked at me, and I went, you know, I'll pay extra for that. And so, it, you know, for the first part of the morning was moving stuff out. It also belonged to my, the other guy in here, Michael Quinn, and I still can't figure out why Mike Quinn's got a GTO engine that he's carried around with him for 36 years. That's probably worth all of like $10 now, you know, including scrap weight. Anyway, hey, Chuck. Okay, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine. Okay, tell us a little bit about yourself and the carpeting.
We've been doing flooring for 33 years.
Uh-huh.
Started off in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and moved out west. Stopped in Denver for 13 years and out here.
Okay, when we say, okay, and sometimes I say carpeting, but we mean flooring.
Right.
Okay, in 30 years, or 33 years in the business, there must be some changes here.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah, what do you see? I mean, what would you say the biggest changes in the last?
They make stain proof carpet now.
Absolutely stain proof?
Yes. You can
wine. I can pour wine on it.
Bleach. You name it. You can pour it on there, and for the most part, it'll come out. It won't discolor your carpet. It's phenomenal stuff. It's changing every day.
So you've got absolutely stain proof. Has that been around very long?
No. Just
this
recently.
Is some pretty new stuff.
Yeah.
Does Carpet One have that?
Yes, sir. They did.
Okay, so like, you know, you could have your party and people whooping it up, and there go the wine glasses, the red wine that. You know, hostesses usually go wine on the floor. The hostesses are leaping with the club soda and this stuff you can spray to take wine out, but you're saying now that's fixed.
That's pretty much fixed. I mean, nothing's 100%, but you can get most of it out without a problem.
Do you see, are natural fibers still being used at all?
Yeah, not as much. It's too hard to take care of them.
That's one of the things the sheriff said. Not the sheriff, but the fire department, was that, you know, that they have more combustible homes because of the fact of a lack of natural fibers and wood. It's everything has become synthetic, and it just comes to a burst point quicker than that.
Yeah, they're hard to take care of. They're if you get a stain on that, you pretty much got to get used to it.
Okay, all right. So, what about the other type of flooring?
You have laminates, and I mean, it's like in our field. I mostly do carpet and vinyl, and the pads have changed, the carpet has changed. Yeah, the pad has antimicrobial, so you know you have no airborne products, you know, that can get in there, like urine, things like that. That it's actually blocked from going through.
Okay.
So it's pretty good stuff nowadays.
Okay, well, look, when we come back, what I want to talk about is what should somebody expect? Saying, okay, I'm going to go out and I want to buy a floor covering. What should I expect from the time I walk in there to the time it's finished? So our people out there, you know, a lot of people are not selling their homes, but they're redoing their homes. They're putting in new kitchens, new flooring, and all this. And a lot of times, you know, unless you've done this a lot, you can walk in and get different stories from everybody. So, using your expertise, when we come back, I'm going to be walking into to your store, Carpet One, and say, okay, I want flooring, and I'm going to, you know, ask questions. What should I expect? What should I expect for the one or the person that puts it in? Because I've heard horrendous stories about that, as you have too.
Oh yes.
All right, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We're talking local business, Carpet One. Welcome back. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 743 on a Wednesday morning. Yeah, we're walking on sunshine. We walk on sunshine every day. 37 degrees It's going to be kind of chilly today. We could be getting snow again tomorrow or tonight. And the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's, who they are happy. They're up there towards Shingletown. They get a little snow up there, but they are open for lunch. They have great dinners. What you got there, Bad Bob? We got a weather warning here?
Indeed, Carl. It looks like by late tonight the storm will be moving in, and this could be one of those things that kind of fizzles out, but somehow my weather contact doesn't think so. We can see 3 to 6 inches in the outlying areas of town, particularly to the north and the west. Keep that in mind if you're going to be traveling. Tonight's low should be around, let's call that about 34 degrees. And then winter storm through Friday morning. Currently 37 downtown. Weather, as you said, brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Okay, our guest, Chuck Sullivan from Carpet One. Okay, now, I go into a carpet store. What should I expect? I mean, if I'm going into a flooring store, I guess I should. Okay, and I come in and I say, okay, I'd like to put carpeting into my bedroom or my living room. So, you know, what should I be expecting the salesperson to be telling me?
You need to know what you want, first of all. That's the big problem. People come in and they'll have no clue what they want. And then the salesperson has to guess what you want. He could only show you samples, you know, to see what you're interested in. You can go from paying a dollar something a square foot to $30 a square foot, you know, and it's you have to find a happy medium.
And just because it's the most expensive may not meet what you really want.
Exactly.
So that person should be asking you the use of it, how much use, you know, what's going to happen in there, and all that.
Right.
Because I guess if you've got an area that's got a low usage rate, you could put a nicer carpet in there and not have to worry about it too much. And if it's got a high usage rate, you want a specific type of carpet.
Correct. You don't want to put a Berber in the house when you have, you know, 5 or 6 kids and
dogs,
and it'll snag and it becomes ruined instantly.
Yeah, well, talk to me about that. I didn't have 5 or 6 kids. But anyway, okay. Installation. You know, when people say, well, how much is it going to cost to install? You can give a pretty good accurate guess, but you're going to have to go out there and look at it, right?
Right. You have to measure it so everybody is on the same page. You can't come in and say, I have a 10 by 10 room, which is 100 square feet, and then you have to buy 120 because it's a 12 by 10 which you need. So
right.
If you go by square footage, it's going to vary.
Well, what about floors are in different shapes, too?
Sure. When you're doing vinyl floors, you have to prep the floor to make sure it's flat and there's no bumps, and you have to make it as flat as glass for a perfect installation.
And so that means you have to add things to the to the flooring itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we had a question in here. It says, what happens if... She obviously works in, I think she works in a real estate agent. Or she says she sees so many carpets that are ruined by cats.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that people can do to get that smell out?
Yeah, you first have to do a black light test in there to find out where the urine spots are. And they sell chemicals like OSR that you can use, and it'll pretty much pull out the smell. But you have to get the chemical back out.
Okay, this is not an easy job, right?
No.
Because once it's in the pad,
right? You can. That's why I started my carpet cleaning business. What you can do is you have this chemical you pour on there, and you basically flood that area, leave it set for a while, and the vacuum and the suction of it is strong enough to pull it out of the pad, even the floor if it hits the floor well enough. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be good to go.
Okay.
But then you have to worry about the discoloration from the urine.
Right.
You know?
So now it is possible. Now you've got rugs that are pads that will keep it from going through.
Right.
And you've also got carpeting that is now almost stain proof.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of done changes on it. Okay. We got a couple minutes left here. We want to make sure we get your phone number in, and of course, Carpet One. And what's the worst story you can think of from an installation
or
that you've seen to come in and fix or something?
I went into a home once, and as I was walking, urine was squirting out from under my shoes.
Ugh.
And they had fly strips hanging down to maybe 4 foot off the ground. So as I was walking through there, they were hitting me, and I had explained to the lady that I needed to open the bathroom doors, and she said she couldn't because there was cats in there. And she opened the door and threw a cup of cat food in there, and I decided pretty much right then and there that I think I was going to go home. I didn't need it that bad. I threw the shoes away.
Okay. That's, we'll finish up on that story. That's bad enough for me. Chuck did the installation back here. Carpet One and worked with us with finding the right carpet to put back here in our new studio and office and our green room. We're going to have a grand opening so everybody can come down and walk around on it and spill things because we've got stuff because it'll keep things from staining there. Okay, Chuck, Carpet One is where?
Right on Placer.
Okay. Carpet One on Placer, and you've got a carpet cleaning?
Yes, I just started it. It'll be up and running in the 1st of March.
Okay. All right. Hey, let's go to the phones. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, folks. Hey, I just got a real quick question. When you're walking around on your carpet and you got bare feet and you go between where there's seams in the carpet and they have the tack strip, usually you're not supposed to feel those little tackies coming through. When those tacks start coming through, what does that mean? Do you need new carpet or can that be repaired? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, hang on for a second. I don't know if you heard the first part. Did you hear the first part about the tacks coming through?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Jim. Thanks.
Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot you can do with those. You need those to hold the carpet in place. If you hammer them down, sometimes it'll still grab the back of the carpet. But there's a good chance that it won't, and then the carpet will slide off the tack strip. So it's a no-win situation.
So
you have to have them.
So we have to do pull it up and put more in there?
Yeah, if you hammer it down, you know, there's a whole bunch of pins that are on an angle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hammer those down, there's nothing for it to hold onto the carpet.
So you've got to re-put down a tack strip or something.
Yeah.
Pull up the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jimbo.
You can always use an area rug to throw over the edge. So
that's an idea, or just a big lazy dog. Okay, hey, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. We're going to take a quick break here. Thanks a lot, Chuck, for coming aboard.
Thank you. When we come back,
we're going to talk about what happens if they cut funding to public broadcasting. What would be the impact right here in River City? Welcome back. Free Fire Radio. Carl and Lindebaugh. Yeah, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 7:55 in the morning on February the 23rd. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Don't call that 800 number. Call a local number for Dish Satellite, 244-1988. Call Doug Tooley. Call him at B&T Satellite. He puts in Dish Satellite, and it works well. He's professional. He does it quickly, and he's a local guy, a veteran of the 82nd Airborne. Give him a call at 244-1988. Now, right just before we talk about the possible impact it could have on cutting back on the Corporation of Public Broadcasting here, a lot of people were talking about in the chat room about the pirate situation, how they took those people's boat, that yacht, and we talked about it yesterday and killed them. Some people say, well, what are they doing going out there being in that area? Well, the area they were in doesn't necessarily mean they were right off the Somali coast, but it's okay. They still have a right of passage in international waters. Anyway, the Navy has like 12 or 13 of these guys under arrest. And Jimmy says, why don't they have decoy boats that look like yachts or cargo ships that have mercenaries laying in wait? Okay, what I got in the email was this. Was a chance to go on a cruise. And in that cruise with a ship that's armored up to the spot, it looks like a cruise ship. It's manned by former SEALs and Force Recon Marines and Army Special Forces. And in this cruise, they promise you, to float off the coast of Somalia, and as not as part of the cost, but for extra, you can rent 50 caliber machine guns, 30 caliber machine guns, M16s, pistols, and whatever, and they will guarantee that pirates will attack you at some point during your cruise. I don't know if anybody else saw that email, but it was quite amusing, I thought. Well, Bob's laughing, but then again, what am I supposed to hear?
like I said, the Russians had the right idea. You notice that the pirates have been leaving Russian flagships alone ever since they went in there. They sent the Spetsnaz in, and that was the end of that situation.
Okay, let's go to some stuff here. It's the House, controlled by the Republicans, of course, has voted to end funding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It's somewhat unhappy news for the North State Public TV. And by the way, if you haven't seen Record Searchlight today, you'll pick it up. They've got some good stories in here. They've had some interesting articles lately that have just kind of like, whoa, like when they took on the unions yesterday. That's something else we'll be talking about. Anyway, that federal support is most critical for stations serving small and rural communities. About 12% of JPR's budget, Jefferson Public Radio, comes from the CPB, that pays for leases, et cetera, et cetera. The bill has to go through the Senate, the one that included ending federal support for public broadcasting. Well, the reason this happens, and let's just be, try to be as honest as we can about the whole thing, that a lot of conservatives feel like public broadcasting, the PBS network, is a hotbed of liberal bias. Now, is that true? And it probably is in some areas. The fact is that they have so many other shows that can't be construed as being political in any way. Let's just use an example here in Channel 9 at KIXC. I mean, Hulhauser in California never struck me as being a political. Now, and I talked at length yesterday with Phil Smith, the general manager of Reading-based public TV station KIXC. The fact is that Smith believes that if you take out public broadcasting, who's it going to hurt more? The big stations, the ones like in L.A., San Francisco, New York, Chicago, they will probably continue to go on because they've got membership that pays a lot. It's when you start getting down to areas like Reading and smaller towns, which are usually more in the red area, the red state area, that the that's when you start getting hurt. Those are the ones that could possibly go out of business. Now the other thing is that they have it has to get through the Senate. It has to get through the Senate. It has to get through the president on this. So will money be added back in? Probably. But one of the things Smith says, and I strongly believe in this, is that you need to have local programming. That you need to have local programming on our PBS channel. What makes us different? Look at all, if you look at 340-something channels out there, they're stovepiped. You can go to the outdoor channel. You have outdoor stuff. History channel, history. Cooking, all this. But even then, the history channel is playing ice truckers and axemen and swamp people. Now, what the hell does that have to do with history? We'll be back after this message. Our message and our news, our guest, Kent Dagg. Stand by. We're going to have some great conversation here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Free Fire Radio. Good morning, North State. It's Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 8:05 on February the 23rd. And this day in 1945, they raised the flag on Mount Suribachi. And after four days of fighting there, and it ended, it was such a ray of hope. They fought for another 30 days after that, and it led to the Iwo Jima Monument, the largest bronze statue ever built out there in Arlington, close to Arlington Cemetery. Linda's on assignment, but we're still here with Bad Bob, and it's 37 degrees, and it's going to be a cold day, and it may be snow tonight. Is that right, Bad Bob?
That is a possibility. By late tonight, we could see snow around the 500-foot level. That means north and west Reading definitely in the sights of this storm. It hasn't wavered a lot. It looks like it may have backed off a little bit, but my weather contact says it could get pretty ugly late tonight. Weather always brought you. Currently 37 degrees. Weather brought to you by Anselmo Vineyard.
Okay, hey, thanks, Babob. Okay, our guest today, been on several times before. We always love having one, Kent Dagg. Good morning from the Builders Exchange.
Good morning. Good morning, Carl. It's great to be here.
It's early in the morning. It's going to be a brisk day.
Yeah.
Good way to get it started. I know you're usually up probably by this time.
At least Sometimes.
At least sometimes. Yeah, there's times I wish I wasn't, you know, I wasn't up sometimes. You know, Kent, let's, there's, we got a question there. There's, you know, some people, you know, are not, they know who you are, but they don't know who you are. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? And
sure, sure. Well, I've been in Reading most of my life. There's a long story to that, but I won't bore you with it. It's the true story is I ran out of gas in Reading and out of money. And that was in the very early 70s. And I thought this would be a good place to stay. And so I settled down and did a couple of unique jobs. Worked as a firefighter in Enterprise in the early part of my career, and went to Shasta College. And then I graduated from Shasta and got a job as the executive director of the Reading Teen Center. And I did that for several years, absolutely loving every minute of it, working with the young teenagers in Reading. And then I, by coincidence, I went to Chico State to finish my degree, and it was 1976, 77, around there. And I got out to meet a young man who was a freshman in the state legislature, Stan Statham. And we hit it off pretty good, and so I lived in Reading, and he said, well, I need somebody to work up here, and I said, great, I'll do this until I can find honest work. And I did that for about 10 years, and then the Builders Exchange job came open, and I was recruited to go help them out because they wanted a local preference. And they were not having much success with city or county politics, and they wanted to have a presence there. So that was 1987, and I've been with them ever since.
Well, that's you ran out of gas here. That's a great story. You
know, oh,
I figured I might have to do something here so I can get up the road further. That's happened to me before when I was somewhat younger.
Yeah.
Okay, now the Builders Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does the Builders Exchange do?
The Shasta Builders Exchange has been in Reading actually since 1955, and it has gone through a couple of changes in the early years, in the 50s, but essentially became the Builders Exchange in 1960. And through those years, it's a very simple concept. Contractors couldn't possibly afford to purchase all the plans for projects that are out there. So we became a clearinghouse for them. So various agencies or private builders or developers would give us the plans at no cost. We pool them all, and then members pay annually to come in and see all those plans. And they can do their takeoffs. And then from that, we've built it into the kind of organization it is today, which is far more than just a plans room.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest, Kent Degg, we're talking the Builders Exchange. Kent's in charge of it. We come back, we want to talk about what's going on here in Reading. We want to talk about what the future looks like it could be holding here. And things aren't always the darkest, as we have sometimes think. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Back to Free Fire Radio and welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Bob. Linda is on assignment today. Don't ask, don't tell. 8:13 in the morning, February 23rd. This portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks, one of our favorite places. And at Lumberjacks, if you're 55 or older, you get two for $12. That's right. You get two lunches for $12. And these lunches are great lunches. Pot roast, chicken fried steak, roasted turkey, you name it, they've got it. 501 East Cypress, Lumberjacks. You know, they're a local company and local people, and they're doing well. And, you know, they do give great service. Their people there are really friendly. That's Lumberjacks 501 East Cypress. Our guest, Kent Degg. And we've got people on the line. But, and John, hang on just for a second. I have a question here I want to I was happy to hear when we were talking about it. Kent, you had Kent Degg, of course, from the Builders Exchange. You had a meeting just in the last week?
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Okay. Tell us what happened to me. Tell us who was there, first of all, you know, generally who was there, and then tell us what happened with that.
Well, you know, the Builders Exchange is made up of three different corporations, and each corporation is governed by a board of directors. So in one corporation, there are 11 board members, and in the other two, there are 7 in each one. And usually the first week of each month, I have board week, which means one board meets on a Monday, one on a Wednesday, and one on a Friday. So all total, I have 3 meetings that week, and all total, I have 25 different board members. And these are all construction or construction-related businesses. And so I posed a question to all 3 of them. Just for my satisfaction, I posed the question to them, is January of 2011 starting out better than January of 2010? And Carl, I was pleasantly surprised by Friday after doing all 25 board members, going through one at a time, and each one explaining to me about their particular business, construction or construction-related, and their response. Their response was actually positive. People were sensing certain things. I heard stories about there's a little more consumer confidence than we've seen in the past. I've had people saying that there's some pent-up demand that certain people who want to make changes are making them now, where they were holding off out of fear or whatever. We had people, 3 or 4 of them were saying that they're actually hiring. I mean, I haven't heard the hire word for quite a while. And they're hiring and expanding. All of them talked about how they've diversified their business from what it was 3 years ago. They've diversified into other areas so that they could increase revenue opportunities, but at the same time decrease expense that they've had in the past. Overall, out of 25 people, the overall response was positive. Now, for me, because I'm out there a lot, that's very refreshing, and I've heard some good things last week, and it was just a positive thing, and I wanted to share it with you.
Well, you know, these are the types of things that several weeks ago we made comments about. First of all, we like to record Searchlight. We support the fact of having a paper in town, et cetera, et cetera. But we made a comment that all we were seeing on the front page was businesses shutting down. I knew there was better news than that because I knew of other businesses that had started in the last year. I knew other businesses that were making it, that other businesses that were thriving. And so, we've been seeing more positive stuff in the Searchlight. But what you're saying to me is kind of a little bit of a feeling that we've been kind of picking up from advertisers and from other people we talk to, because we talk to a lot of businesses also.
Well, and a lot of the guys were saying, in 2010, I had work out for 3 weeks. This time around, they're saying, we have worked out for 3 months.
Okay.
They have plans for 3 months. And it's
great.
It's just refreshing because we've been through some pretty bad times. And the industry, the construction industry, has taken one of the biggest hits that I've ever seen and a lot of the old-timers have ever seen.
It's the, and the thing about it is that we're not through it yet.
No, we're not.
But at least... from people you're talking to, that it looks like, okay, maybe there's some hope here that we can keep moving, that the ones that have hung on, that they can keep moving through.
The one thing about this industry that I can tell you after representing it for 25 years is they're a resilient group of men and women.
Okay. We've got lots of questions coming in. Well, let's go to the phones first. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Hey, John, I'm fine.
And Linda in absentia, Bad Bob sitting over there.
Don't ask me where she's at.
Uh-huh.
You can pull out my fingernails.
Kent, I got 2 questions for you. One is pretty straightforward. The other one's more of a philosophical thing. First of all, I always respect what you've done. I think you've got a great perspective about this community, and you're willing to put yourself out there even with criticism that flows endlessly. Now, all of that being said, you head the Builders Exchange. Is there any oversight among your construction members, your contracting members, that they don't hire illegal aliens or immigrants?
It's not something that we do as an organization, but each individual exchange member has their own methods of hiring. I know that we do promote workplace safety and particularly drug screening. And Bob and I were talking during the break about our construction boot camp. In our construction boot camp, we require candidates to go through that to be drug screened, DMV checked, and that they have a high school diploma. But that's it.
Well, at least that's some positive action. Now, if I can switch your hats for a minute, although it never really switches in this, but you've been very active in city government and in providing suggestions to them for various cost improvement methods, your list of 10 being one of the things.
Yes.
But last week, the 15th, the city council meeting, the city council voted for 3 management and 1 staff position to receive raises. The meeting was very contentious, and the council rationale was truly irrational. What are your feelings about giving raises to management and staff personnel during this time?
Gee, thanks. I was hoping it would be a tough question.
We're going to have to take a break right after this, John. I can tell you right now.
Yeah. I don't have an opinion on this one. Believe it or not, the Builders Exchange, made our position very, very well known back in 2005. We were way out in front on the whole benefit issue, and it fell pretty much on deaf ears. And the reason being that the economy was so unbelievably good at that time. Yet us, the Chamber, and the Board of Realtors all came together, hired Dr. Frates, showed where this was an accident waiting to happen, and everyone thought we were attacking motherhood and apple pie. Well, we did our job, and we raised the flags then, and we didn't get any traction. So, you know, we're not involved in that game anymore.
I think your non-statement makes a statement.
Well, you know,
thank you very much, Kent.
A lot, John. We've got to take a break. I think what you said, Kent, was, hey, we've got a problem here. Unless we address it now, we're going to have a huge problem. It was ignored, if I'm hearing what you're saying correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they did, it's like, fine, we told you, now you're in it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Hey, and Carl, what I do now is every time I see a 20-year-old, I apologize. Because what I'm going to leave that guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's not just my daughter
and
my son-in-law. I look at my grandkids and look at what's happening now. 43 cents of every dollar.
Every dollar.
Every dollar. Okay. Carl and Linda Bott, our guest Kent Dagger. We're going to come back. We've got lots of questions here. We're going to get to them. We're going to get to them about Stillwater. We're going to be talking about hiring out of the area. We're going to be talking about, illegals again. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. We're going to bang the drum all day. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:25 in the morning. And this portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite, 244-1988. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. He guarantees his work. Again, local business, doing a great job. And here's the best thing about doing local business, my friends. If you got a problem, got a concern, you call them. They come back and they fix it. You call somebody from maybe a large area with an 800 number. You have a problem. You call them. And somebody in Indonesia, who is obviously male, but he says his name is Mary, because that's what he's reading, doesn't quite understand what you want. All right, so Doug Tooley, local. You call 244-1988. You talk to Heather or you talk to Doug. Go visit him. Our guest, Kent Dagg, the Builders Exchange, and here I am just... He's laughing at these things I say, but this is the stuff we're getting in the chat room is just tremendous here. But they're talking about using local contractors and local subs as opposed to having groups of people that come through and offer good prices but may not deliver.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're absolutely right in what you're saying about the satellite is. If you're doing a construction project at home, a remodeled project, or new construction, first thing, get multiple bids. Don't get just one bid. Number two, make sure that whoever you get bids from are licensed in the state of California. This is all easy to do. You go on a Contractor State Licensing Board website for the state of California, and you can check up any license, any name at all. Also, make sure that people are well insured. If you hire an unlicensed contractor who has no insurance and that individual gets hurt on your site, well, guess what? You just owned a claim. And it's not a good time. So it's not always the best thing to go with somebody driving up and down the highway in a pickup truck with a dog in the back. It's not always the best thing. Find the license.
Well, we have people here that are talking about how, not a contractor, but a major contractor in town, they're using the name D.R. Horton.
Mm-hmm.
which who is a national contractor.
That's correct.
Comes in and uses workers from out of area that are possibly non-citizens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how you could tell unless you went over and carded each one of them.
Right.
But they don't use local people here.
Some guys have worked on D.R. Horton projects. D.R. Horton is a developer, and they build all over the United States. I think they're number two or three in the nation.
Right.
And a very large residential builder. Their whole motive is built on price. And so they're going to beat up whoever they get, whether it's one of theirs that follows them here or if they try to hire locally. And it's not a good place for a lot of our local subcontractors to bid, only because you're dealing with an unknown. I mean, you're dealing with a national corporation, and they can hurt you.
How?
If you're not careful. Well, they can beat you up on the price.
Right. They can drive your price down.
They can drive your price down and make you do some things that you just really don't want to do. What you want to do as a young contractor, subcontractor in Reading is go with people you know. We've got great developers in Reading. You know, with Cho and Sheehan is a good example, great residential builders. There's not a lot of that going on right now in this economy. We're doing much better in the road work in that area, and then now we're starting to see a little bit of commercial, like with the project out at Stillwater. And if I could, Carl, I'd like to just talk about
that. Well, we're going to talk about that. We don't have enough time to get even started on that one yet.
Yeah.
We only got like a minute left here.
All right.
So we will get to that. You know, people are here talking like people like Ochoa and Sheehan use local folks. And I see what you're saying here is that this is a national contract. It's kind of like Walmart. They're kind of Walmart serves a purpose.
Yeah.
But it can also beat up a lot of local people.
It certainly does.
So
And Walmart's another good example because when that was built in Reading, the original Walmart in Reading, very few of our subs worked on it because they brought in material, for instance, from Arkansas or wherever they were from,
mm-hmm.
and which is bad because you need to buy the material locally so the city gets the sales tax.
Right. Well, you know, it's when I see things like this, like the bridges.
Yeah.
You know, the bridge construction here. Were there a lot of our workers there?
Yeah, actually, there was a lot of laborers on there and subs. But
so that
the generals were out of the area.
Right, the generals were. Okay, we've got to take a break here. Our guest, Kent Dagg from Builders Exchange. We're going to be talking about Stillwater. I just can't wait to get started on that one. And join us, though, after the news, Carl and Linda Botten. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning, 8:34 in the morning. Linda's on assignment. It's February the 23rd. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. DC and Tim, the man in black, they give haircuts. They don't style your hair. They give haircuts. It's man's last stronghold. They give great prices. They give discounts to veterans. What more can you ask for? You go down, you sit there. Guess who's not on TV? Oprah, not on TV. Okay? What you have is manly things, but, you know, it's a good place for sons and fathers to bond. And by the way, because, hey, the Rat Pack's coming in this weekend. It's going to be a big doing at the Civic Center. Linda's going to open for the show. I know I'm going to get a haircut. We'll all join down there. See who's going to be the first one down. I refuse to keep waiting down there, though, so it's kind of like drive-by. It's a drive-by haircut. All right. Our guest, Kent Dagg, Builders Exchange. All right, let's just talk about Stillwater.
Sure.
Let's throw that skunk on the table. Every time I say that to people, people either run away from it or they just run toward it.
Yeah.
Depending on if there's a business involved. So,
well, my history of Stillwater goes back to its actual beginning. And a lot of people don't know the beginning necessarily, but there was when the Walmart distribution center went into Yuma County, it went there, and the EDC locally had really tried to get them in Shasta County. It didn't happen. It went to Yuma County for one very simple reason. They needed 100 acres of flat land. We don't have 100 acres of flat land. So the EDC then said at that time to Councilman Pat Kite, you know, what are we going to do about this? And Pat and I and Richard Downs and Rob Middleton got together with Jim Zauer, and we got approval from the city council to strategize about large lot subdivision. Over the period of the next couple of years, it took us to identify the piece of ground, which is now today Stillwater. And the idea was we didn't have an inventory locally of properties available for large lot subdivision, large employee hiring subdivisions. So we set out and developed the Stillwater.
No, when was this approximate time?
Oh, it took us, that would have been probably around the year 2000, maybe 98, 2000.
Okay.
It took us quite a while.
All right.
And then we handed the ball off to the city, and the city then ran with it through the environmental clearances and everything else.
So the planning department or the planning commission was there and all this, and saying, okay, what we need here is we need a place where we can grow, we can put industry here, light industry here.
We got to be able to have something to sell because we had nothing. There was no 100-acre flat lot in Redding. So it took 10 years probably to develop Stillwater, which is in government time maybe lightning quick. In my time, it drove me crazy. And it passed, and the city held true to its word, and they built Stillwater Business Park. The naysayers out there, and there are naysayers, and that's okay, but the naysayers say, well, they'll never develop anything anyhow, and it's a waste of money. Well, the bottom line is, if a developer had thought it would work, they would have done it already. But they cannot afford the time lag it takes to develop 10-year property like that. And so a developer is never going to do it, a private developer. So it had to be a partnership with the city. The end result is, last year when we introduced the Radical 10 and 10, one of those was to give that first lot in Stillwater away for free. The city council, fortunately, liked the idea, embraced the idea, and we did it. Most recently, we have our first company going in out there, Southern Aluminum. They have, I was very fortunate because the president of that company called me from Atlanta, Georgia, where they are, and they wanted me to be involved in the negotiations with the city. I was in a very minor role. Kurt Starman did an excellent job representing the city. Pat Keener from RU and John Trouton representing Stillwater. And we met, and Les Melberg from Nichols Melberg Rosetto was there because he's the architect in charge. Item 14 on that agreement, very clearly, and the owner of SAF agreed to this, all local, all contracting will be done by local contractors and suppliers. And the idea, very simply here, is we want the products bought here. If they're bought here, that sales tax is generated here, and that sales tax then goes back to the city for our various services.
Right. And we use local contractors. Everything stays local.
Everything is right here. And SAF agreed to that. Kurt Starman and the city agreed to that. And, of course, I was doing cartwheels, which, by the way, is not a pretty sight.
maybe at the end of the show.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Okay, with that in mind, then, the type of buildings they're going to put out here, I'm hearing that they're going to be putting steel buildings up. Is that correct?
Actually, the original plans, and I have not seen the final, just the schematic drawings, is about a 50,000, first phase. There's multiple phases, but the first phase is about 50,000 square feet. Of that, 5,000 square feet is office space, nice decorative office space. The other 45,000 square feet is a warehouse. I mean, it's
warehouse,
what they
right.
do. They
yeah.
build.
Well, what about is the what kind of tax? What kind of taxes are we talking about on this? Do you have any idea?
You know, I don't at this time.
I've been told it's, you know, millions.
Yeah, it'll be a lot. There'll be a lot of money generated here with this project. But more importantly, and I know there's something that's near and dear to your heart. It's about job creation.
Sure.
And we're creating jobs. So Stillwater is going to pay off. It's going to happen. It is happening. And we're going to start seeing, and I have to tell you, Carl, right now, I'm already talking to a second company. And it's not out for public yet and blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right, I understand.
But we're talking to a second company now. And I got to tell you, I think it's going to snowball. And it's going to take a couple more years, but I think it's going to continue to snowball. And we're going to provide jobs. And this is one of the things that Kurt was adamant about during the negotiations, he wanted to make sure that the wages were up there. And the wages are $17 an hour.
Yeah, I saw the paperwork. The proposed letter and of that, and it was up there, and they're hiring. I think it's going to be 50 people by mm-hmm. the time they're finished, and people go, well, 50 people, but 50 people making money, paying taxes, plus everything else that goes along with it. And there's one thing that usually happens: is success begets success.
That's correct.
Yeah, once you start succeeding, now people are going to say, well, I know one company, but we've also heard about what the paper company, which I understand has run into some things.
And that's not the one I'm talking about.
No, this is a separate one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, we have to take a break. I think we can always look at something, whether it's going to be, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. Oh, you know, we gave away this land. This is taxpayers' property. You know, it's already been done. At least it has been done. Mm. And if we can build two or three businesses and then a fourth that comes in, and that's very possible, then we've got a big step forward here for this year and for our future. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. You know, welcome back. Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 8:46 in the morning on the 23rd. Bob, tell us what the weather is, because I'm tired of being hacked at in the blogs here.
Cold winter storm for the interior of Northern California. Late tonight, another cold winter storm from Western Canada. You know, now we know who to blame. We'll be hitting Redding, north and western parts. 3 to 6 inches of snow potentially right downtown. Currently it is 42 degrees. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyard.
Let's talk about Mike's Music right off Cypress Avenue. You know, he's a local guy, too. Mike's Music, they've been in business for a long time. It's a family business. You know, not only do they sell just first-class instruments, they also give first-class instruction on it. They've got their own studio back there. People practice. People get back there and they're jamming. Mike's Music, 243-3774, right off Cypress Avenue. Go down. Linda uses their facilities all the time down there. I mean, this just really, these guys know what they're doing when it comes to music. Mike's Music, 243-3774. Our guest, Kent Dagg, from the Builders Exchange, and just handed me something about the dedication ceremony for the Veterans Memorial Chapel building.
You bet.
Let's talk about that.
Let's do. Just so you know, Carl, we were approached by Senator Maurice Johannesson to partner with him to build a memorial chapel out at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. It's a huge undertaking, and the industry is not strong right now. We have a long history of doing community projects. The Builder Exchange has a list of over 30 projects we've done in town for the benefit of everybody. And yet our board decided they wanted to help. And so they did. And out there now is this beautiful, beautiful chapel. And on March 19th at 11 a.m., we'll be having dedication of that building. This will allow families and friends and veterans a place to pay respects that are out of the elements. And I know of your military background, and I know that you've been out there, and the elements out of IGO can be a little strict. And so getting a place for these people to pay their respects, it meant a lot to us. And we had terrific response from our members who donated their labor. We had, I have to tell you, we had, we were talking about roofers, and Harbert Roofing, which is a member of the exchange, not only did they agree to put the roof on this facility, but their employees donated their weekends to do the work.
These are all local guys, too.
All local boys.
All local boys.
All local. And they got the materials from one of their suppliers, and they went out there over a couple of weekends on their own and put the roof on that beautiful facility. And I'm just so proud of them. Jerry Wager was the general contractor who oversaw the project. We had an enormous amount of support from subs that wanted to be a part of this. They don't want any recognition because they're doing it for the veterans, but they want to be part of it.
Well, this is fantastic. You know, the senator's been on our show many times.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this. We've done some fundraisers for it. He'll be on, in fact, the week before.
Oh, good.
Talking about this. And if you haven't seen it, my friends, you need to go out to IGO, and you can't miss it. And it's not called a chapel. It's called a Warriors Memorial Building, I guess, but it's a chapel. I mean, you look at it, it's got stained glass windows, it's the shape of a cross. And what it is, oh, but it is secular, it is non-denominational. And what Kent is saying is absolutely right. They've got one small area out there that's got like a, it's got a roof, no walls. And we've stood out there, and we've been there when the rain's pouring down, wind's blowing, it's just rough. And with this chapel, with this building that was, you know, the idea of Senator Johansson and Mojo's, and with the help of all of these contractors and subcontractors,
yep,
has come together, and it's beautiful in there, and it's a fitting place for no matter what, even if you're not a religious person, now you have a place,
yeah,
to have your family, your friends, those that care about that fallen warrior, and that's what the bottom line is.
It is. It is, and I have to tell you, Carl, while we were out there working and we had a construction fence up for safety, we had veterans come to that fence and take pictures of us working.
Oh, yeah.
And it really hurt.
Well, I mean, I know, it touches.
It does.
Well, you know what? You know, it's true. Veterans, they don't ask for a lot. And because of that, they get taken advantage of in so many ways. That's why there's got to be people watching to make sure that they are taken care of. But, you know, thanking them, and this, what a huge, huge, huge thank you is this to veterans to build this. And it deserves a big thank you also from the veterans back to the senator and the contractors, the Builders Exchange, all the subcontractors that worked on it. It's a beautiful place.
And I got to tell you, when you interview Maurice about this, you can. I've known Maurice for many, many years, and there's one line that you always have to say to Maurice if you want to get something done, and that is, I'm sorry, Senator, you can't do that.
Amen.
Okay, we'll take a break on that. Carl Lindabad, Kent Dagg is our guest today from the Builders Exchange. We're talking building. We've talked Stillwater. We're talking about the beautiful Memorial Chapel up at IGO. Join us after these messages. Back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment. It's our last segment here at 8:55 in the morning, brought to you by Tobacco and Brew at 2143 Hilltop Drive. And, you know, we were just talking about, you know, entities that support veterans, and that's what they do. Tobacco and Brew really supports the veteran community, and they have some great shops right there, of course, with the finest walk-in humidor and any type of tobacco accessory you want right there, but also Espresso Joe's and a meeting place. You want to have a meeting, they've got a place there, free Wi-Fi, great place. Joe and Shelley support the veterans, and they support our community, not just the veterans. Okay, did we just do the weather? Let's do it again.
We did the weather, but
I want to do it one more time. And John, I don't want any more comments here.
And snow could come down to 500 feet. North and west part of Reading will be particularly affected if the current models hold out. Right now, 42 degrees downtown, and thanks again to Anselmo Vineyards.
Tell Mr. Dagg we appreciate his appearance.
Hey.
That's what came out of here.
Oh, good.
That's not just me saying that. Oh. People on in the, well, you know, see, here the thing is that, you know, positive. We talked about here in the show here is that you had 25 people that are on the boards here, and each one of them had a positive outlook starting in January of 2011.
That's correct.
That's great. We talked about Stillwater. Yeah, Stillwater's got its problems. Yeah, there's a lot of money in Stillwater, but maybe that's if we, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, you've already got one business coming in here. We're talking two more that are rolling in. More, you know, and if we can have that same rule with them, that the employees come from here. When you build it, it comes from here.
That's right.
You know, we've got to have that kind of thing. And if they're giving them a good enough break on it, they should be able to do that.
That's correct. And not only are the people at SIF going to, you know, the 50 employees that are going to be employed there, but there's the residual that comes with that. It's the off-site employees also that are created because of the 50 new at SAF. So there's a ripple effect through our entire community. And you know what? I've got big shoulders. I can take it. So
yeah,
go ahead and take your best shots, and that's all right, because this is going to be the right thing, and history will show that.
What about the, okay, let me throw this one just out of left field.
Sure.
There. Oasis.
North of town.
Oasis. Are you building it out?
You know, the first phase is, I think, just about completed. The first on-ramp, or whatever they call it, Cloverleaf, yeah, is just about completed. I'm not holding my breath on Oasis. I mean, as money becomes available, it's federal dollars coming down, yeah, or state dollars coming down. As they become available, they can continue to expand. But the idea of developing Oasis has been around forever.
Well, with Costco making noises about it?
You know, Costco's got, they've got their pick of the litter where they want to go. Anywhere along I-5 that there's a spot, they can go.
What about losing redevelopment money?
Redevelopment money, in my mind, is something we should not lose. I would hope the governor doesn't attack that or go after that, but I think if our cities, the three cities in our county, have that money dedicated and locked up, it's going to be better for us locally.
Okay. Yeah, I know that redevelopment money, to lose all that would be a big blow to us right now.
It would be a big hit.
Yeah, it would. Just people are talking about, you know, about up at Stillwater putting in studios, things like, you know, and, well, production studios and these kind of things. Here's the thing about it is that there's nothing that says anybody can't go into Stillwater,
no,
is there? I mean, I know they were talking about a paper company that's raised some ire because but it's not a production paper company,
no,
is it? It's just like a packaging paper,
yeah,
company.
Yeah, yeah, and you know what? In today's society, with the regulations that exist at the state and federal level, you can't build anything at all,
no,
without going through an enormous amount of testing and requirements and everything, just as we did when we built Knopf,
right,
and that kind of thing. So, I trust in that part of the system. That
I kind of much too is that, you know, I mean, it's hard enough to start a business here in California as it is.
Yeah.
The climate is so unfriendly at times.
Yeah.
Okay, Kent Dagg, thank you so much for being here.
Imagine my disappointment with only you here, not Linda.
Well, you know what? I see that's the way I get people in, and then at the last minute we put her on assignment.
Yeah, yeah.
Tomorrow, Leonard Modi will be here.
Oh.
One of the county supervisors. We want to talk about what's going on there in the county.
Former Notre Dame football player.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know he played football for him.
Yeah.
Well, and let me see what's the last. Oh. Bob's saying it's time to get out of here. Hey, just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. What's your year?
KCNR, Shasta Redding.